Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
All right, put on your seatbelts. It's Loveline in the studio with me tonight, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, buddy, you're it. You're in the driver's seat tonight. You're going to help out our callers. You ready for that?
Yeah, this has been the most sober I've ever been here.
Yeah, you look, you got a light in your eye. You're alive, which I always hold my breath every time I plan to see you. I hope for you the best. And of course, we always get in a discussion about how there's some sort of passive wish to do yourself in.
Not
passive.
Enough.
You don't intend to do it, but if it happens, oh well, you had a good time.
You know, I don't want to live long. I want to live forever. And if I were to die sooner, then I think my legacy would be more intact.
I'm trying to follow that.
Well, you know, I mean, I'd rather be James Dean than Marlon Brando. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
That's exactly what I told you, Drew. Exactly. Remember last week we were talking about that? I said, I think it's a whole, like, Dino thing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was it.
You know.
Well, James Dean didn't exactly intend to go the way he did, though.
Yeah.
He's lucky he did, though.
You know.
Because what? He would end up like Marlon Brando?
He'd be like Elvis, yeah.
He'd be like Elvis. Could be right. Well, you can check out Wild Boys Season 3 repeating on MTV 2, and then Season 4 with Steve-O and Chris Pontius is going to begin in January. Then a new show. Can I talk about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Called Camp Steve-O. If you would like to refer your parents, basically this is a... You tell them what it is.
I'm taking over a summer camp during the month of February.
Not just any summer camp.
Yeah, it's a Jewish summer camp named Camp Shalom. I'm probably not supposed to say that, but I'm really bad at keeping secrets. And I'm turning it into a rehabilitation center for uptight parents.
Uptight, grouchy, workaholic,
yeah.
Showing them how to be cool?
Yeah, because, you know, like...
To be cool, you just have to be... You have to humiliate them, basically.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah, play with poop and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the way I see it, I think that television is raising our kids more than we are.
Uh-huh.
Even though I don't have kids, and I'm getting a vasectomy.
Good. I mean, I beg your pardon. I mean, if you want that, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, I remember that last time I saw you, I told you that, and you said, do that, dude, do that. But, yeah, so I'm trying to, like...
Transparent.
You know, I'm trying to go really family values, you know.
Poop. Karaoke.
Yeah. Death metal.
Death metal. And now, where do you go if you want to refer your parents to be on this camp?
Well, we've got casting directors all over the country, so...
is there a website or something they can go to?
Yeah, there's an 800 number, 1-800-481-5952. And,
I'm going to write this down. 481-5952?
Yeah, and you can...
They're not going to get some weird porno thing?
No, but there's been all kinds of... porno calls to that number.
Oh, nice.
You know, keep them coming.
Screening all personally. Now, last time I saw you, it was in a illustrious appearance on Late Night with Adam Carolla,
what was the follow-up appearance to an illustrious one?
Yes, it was the follow-up where I saw you jump off a couch onto burning cake or something.
Yeah.
Was that something you learned back in clown school? People don't realize that Steve actually went to the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey College in 1997. Was that a year-long program?
No, it was more like boot camp. It was just
like a couple-week program?
It was 8 weeks.
8 week program.
Yeah, it took longer to get in than to get through.
Really? And they teach you how to do crazy falls like that?
I don't know.
The other thing, though, for those of you that, everyone knows Steve-O, but I have a very poignant and special memory of Steve-O because I saw some footage of him climbing under an elephant, asking the elephant to pee on him.
Asking him.
Begging him.
Well, I remember I blew on the elephant's undercarriage a little bit, and that seemed to be a catalyst.
Unleash
yeah.
it. Unfortunately... Number one was followed by number two, right on Steve's head.
Yeah.
And Steve-O dutifully vomited. It's good. It's perfect. I think you got to have the world's record for the most on-screen vomits.
I really, really think that the Guinness book needs to give me
that. You want to apply for it? All right. Let's take some calls, shall we?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Let's go to Tiffany, 25. Tiffany?
Hello.
Hey there, what's going on? You're on with Steve-O from lots of things, but mostly Wild Boys right now. Go ahead.
Where are you at, Tiffany?
What's up with guys? I mean, okay, I'm a big girl, not like overweight big, but I'm like 216, and I see no love from guys.
You're what now?
I said 216, I think.
216 pounds.
Yeah, 216 pounds.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'7".
That's a pretty good size, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good, you know.
A healthy weight for you would be 140, 150.
Yeah, that would about right.
So that's about nearly 70 pounds overweight. That's 100 pounds is considered morbid obesity.
You know, I'd say probably, you know, the best oral sex I've ever received was from the bigger girls. So, I mean, big time. Oh,
are you instructing Tiffany how to sort of get guys? Is that the idea?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've never had a bad sexual encounter with a big girl.
And Tiffany, there's somebody for everybody, of course, but is there anything that you're putting out there that might be sort of pushing guys away?
No, I mean, I work. I mean, I go out. Other than that, that's it. I mean, I'm trying to meet guys. They're just, like, you have to be a size zero where I'm from, or no guy's going to pay you any attention.
Where are you calling from?
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, North Carolina. Sweet, sweet.
That's right.
I thought pretty much, you know, girls can get laid anytime they want, right? I mean, it's about right, right, Drew?
Well, lots of Steve-O's running around out there, Tiffany. I mean, you got to protect yourself, really.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the actual act of sex, I could take it or leave it, you know? It's bragging to my bros I do it for.
Is that right?
Well,
there are those guys.
I enjoy sex, but not nearly as much as I do bragging to my bros about it.
But you like sort of... just like you like bragging about the sort of range of feats, F-E-A-T-S, that you perform, these are the amongst the feats you have to perform about.
You know, I mean, like, you know, we say, you know, like, oh, nobody wants to hear about the hot chick you hooked up with, you know, tell me about that chick with the mustache, you know, like, but I don't know, you know, I'm pretty promiscuous, so I don't know.
No kidding. This is, thank God you're getting that vasectomy. Leslie, 17.
Yeah.
Hey, Leslie, what's going on? You're on with Steve-O.
Steve-O? Okay. Steve-O, you're pretty hilarious, by the way.
Well, thank you, baby. Where are you calling from? I love how, like, I'm waiting for someone to, you know, say that they're in Ohio. Damn it. Someone's going to be in L.A., and I'm going to try and get laid tonight.
Oh.
I don't think you'd want to get laid. I'm 17 anyway.
Ah, man. So she's illegal tender.
Anyway, I'm kind of, I don't know, I can't get off from sex, so I thought that maybe we should try oral sex, but I'm, like, really scared to let him because, I don't know, I'm afraid of how he'll react.
You know, the best thing to do is just take a shower and just do it right after you get out of the shower, and you're pretty much foolproof.
Not only that, Leslie, that's probably the only way you're going to have an orgasm, all likelihood.
You know, they say 95% of all women... fake orgasm, right?
I've heard that.
It's really pretty rare for women to have orgasms during sex.
Well, no, it's there's a couple different things. 60% of women do not have orgasm with intercourse, but eventually, pretty much all of those will eventually have orgasm with something, typically oral sex. That other 40% is sort of a mix of women that have either multiple orgasms,
sequential orgasms. Yeah, I've got issues with that.
What?
Well, you know, every man's penis starts out as a clitoris, right? Like every
correct. We all start as females.
Exactly. And then what is it? 49% turn into male.
Right.
So
they're basically the Y chromosome turns on.
So essentially, you know, a man's orgasm is, you know, women have the same thing with their clitoris, right?
That's the same anatomic region from which all that emanates, but it's under a different endocrinology and a different neurobiology.
Right, but let's say, you know, you can say going down on a girl, right?
Yeah.
You go down on a girl, and, you know, if you get the job done, she'll essentially shove you off. You know, gets all sensitive.
Right,
just
that's
like
the way it goes, yes.
And then,
yes,
you know.
They have that, too.
So now...
that's most women. That's most women. So there are those, though, that will not like oral sex. They'll find it overly sensitive and will have multiple orgasms, one right after the other, to exhaustion, until they can't have any more.
I think that...
that's a different biology.
See, I think, you know, there's multiple, you know, I don't believe in the multiple. They say that, like, for a woman, you know, these multiple orgasms, it's kind of like when a plane dips, you know, and you have the feeling in your stomach.
That's, but there are truly a small percentage of women that genuinely, you can actually show that they're having the physiological response.
Do you masturbate a lot?
Well, when I masturbate, I have to use the water faucet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I have, like, three or four orgasms.
But they're sequential. That's what Steve. They're not multiple. Multiple means you'll have 30 or 40 one right after the other, as opposed to one or two big ones sequentially with sort of a downtime in between. You see. But so, Leslie, you're going to be fine with you. He's what do you think? He's going to be grossed out or something?
I don't know. Like, he wants to really bad, but yeah,
he's going to be fine.
Oh man! I mean, come on. What you got to do is just, you know, try it out for God's sakes. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't have to do it again. You know,
Leslie, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's, you know, look out for number one, Leslie. It's time for you to have some major orgasms.
Okay.
First of all, I also have to thank Steve-O for pronouncing my name right. Nobody ever says my name right. They always say Leslie with a Z.
Oh, well.
As opposed to Leslie.
So good nice. Job.
Leslie is out, and here on the West Coast is Leslie.
That's good.
Okay, take care now.
All right, thanks.
Great, good luck with that.
All right, here's Max, 18. This is for you, Steve-O. Max?
Hi, Steve-O. My name's Max, and I'd just like to let you know that I am available, and I am in L.A., and I am...
What do you think? I am some kind of homosexual queer? I only play one on.
No, really. I mean, I find you exceedingly sexually attractive, and I'm just wondering if you'd be open.
Well, I'll tell you where we can find him at the end of the show, man.
You know that. what to say about that? Like, I'm really not.
Well, okay. If you don't swing that way, I can understand.
Hey,
but
I play a gay guy on TV. And, you know, I mean, that's for the purpose. I'm really trying to rid the world of homophobia.
When is this now?
Well, when I'm on Wild Boys, you know, I really, really, you know, do a lot of sort of homoerotic kind of oriented humor.
Right, right.
I'm not, but you know, I think, you know, my dad raised me to be a pretty, you know, pretty big gay basher.
Oh, nice.
You know, my dad's...
You mean you had that tendency?
I really didn't. I actually kind of...
Your dad's a gay basher.
My dad is, you know, like it was a big deal with our Jackass movie, you know, like how, you know, I refused to shove the car up my butt because my dad would have been too disappointed in me. And
I remember that scene vividly.
Yeah, and so, like, I remember my dad came to the premiere and, you know, he said to the director of the movie, he said, hey, you know, I think you got that wrong. You know, like, I really wasn't concerned for my son's safety, you know. It's just that I'm extremely homophobic, and I didn't, you know.
Really? How interesting.
My dad did not care if I put a matchbox car up my butt, you know, in terms of, like,
he cared the implication.
He just thought that was a gay thing to do.
No, Max,
faggot better run.
No, now listen. So let's be very, very clear, because people misinterpret things.
I think
things.
This guy's pretending to. Does this guy sound gay to you?
No.
Yeah, me either.
But you are not a gay basher at this point.
No. I've never really been a gay basher, you know?
Yeah. And so your homoerotic sort of illusions are to improve people's...
Exactly. Yeah. Really, you know, really...
And so the fact that somebody like Max might misinterpret that is...
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I should have said my dad tried to raise me a gay basher, okay. and he failed.
And is your dad, has your sort of career helped shape your dad in a more sort of moderate direction?
You know, yeah, my dad's getting really, really desensitized to being disappointed in me.
your parents were like professionals, right?
Yeah, my mom passed on a couple years ago. But yeah, my dad was a big time businessman. And now.
Your mom was a professional too, right?
No, my mom was.
Put you right in that.
Okay.
There we go.
My mom, I mean, I guess like she was more to just kind of an alcoholic, really. But great sense of humor, you know, really fun lady.
I thought you said she was super trained too, or super.
She was a registered nurse.
Uh huh.
But no, my mom never worked a day in her life.
Just dad was the big, and homophobic. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and you know, like.
Go ahead.
I remember, like, we went on this European vacation like one summer, and you know, we were on some train, and a lady was holding onto this bar, and like, I remember my dad just being so offended by this hair coming out of her armpits. Like,
dad sounds like a super uptight. Your dad go to Camp Steve-O.
You know, when I dropped out of university, and it's like, hey dad, you know, like, I'm dropping out, I'm getting in this van, I'm driving to California, I'm gonna become a stuntman. My dad was disappointed, you know. But had I told him, dad, I'm gay.
So basically, he's one of these dads who, when you told him you're going to drive to California and drop out of school and be a stuntman, he went, oh, phew, at least you're gay.
Yeah, and you see, I've got this profanity on my knuckles.
Yes.
My dad.
You got the S word and the F word on each knuckle.
Yeah, each hand. So each my dad pointed to my knuckles and he says, son, that's dumb. But then he points to the dribbling penis on my arm and he says, but I am personally offended by that. Yeah.
That was when you knew you'd arrived.
If Dad, if you're listening, you know, I'm sorry, dude.
Has he started dating again?
He actually, my parents divorced when I was 17, and my dad's been remarried for over 10 years now.
Okay, so then.
But yeah, no, like, I don't want to misrepresent my relationship with my dad. Like, we get along great.
Yeah, sure. Marie, 21. Marie, what's going on? You're on with Steve-O.
Hi, Steve-O. Hey. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Marie.
All right. Well, I was having fun with my boyfriend, and he's rough. He was, like, fingering me, and he cut me, like, in between my clit and my hole. My vaginal hole, or whatever you want to call it. But,
What's the technical word for the vaginal hole?
Vulva.
Damn it. Why didn't I guess that?
I'm going to bring out an anatomic chart for you, Steve, so we can figure out what she's talking about exactly. There really is no space between the... I mean, she's talking about... Here's
the
clitoris here. Here's
my lips.
Right, so up on the outside lips here. Do you sure it's a cut and not like an infection? The cold sores?
Oh, no. Like, I'm very safe. When he was, like, he was pretty rough, so I...
By the way, let's take a second here to talk about guys and how they perform on women. Men think that women want what they want, but they don't. Women have a whole different way of responding. In other words, a bad idea when you're having sex with the other sex, the opposite sex, is to treat them the way you would want to be treated. That's exactly the opposite.
You know, like my MO is to treat myself the way I want to be treated.
Right.
I'm very sensitive. I'm like, should I just use a Hitachi toy?
Now this cut, is it something that came from like his fingernail or something?
Right.
Is that?
Yeah.
I'm imagining.
Because you know that this it's almost completely analogous to, you know, like this. Can I say blowjob?
Hmm?
Oh, okay, cool. I got this like pretty toothy blowjob recently. You know. Just felt that, you know, these teeth were just kind of scraping down. You know.
Wow. You know, did you say something? That's the weird part. Huh?
I was said you just. How do you say? You know, it's almost like telling someone their breath stinks. You know, like, I mean, if that happens again with this girl, I'm just gonna say, you know, hold on, we gotta talk. You know, and let me just.
How about just ouch?
Ouch, be good. But you know, I want to tell her. You know, like, hey, you know, if you're really innocent, you haven't been with a lot of guys, and. You know, then I want you to know that that's a plus, you know? So the fact that there's this tooth issue, you know, like, really is a good thing. But
then I want to talk to her, and I want to say, look, you sure you want to start out with Steve-O? That's really where you want to hit the ground running like that? That's where you want to start?
So now Drew, for this girl here, I mean, there's got to be...
Well, my concern is that there's something more going on than just a cut. I understand he was rough, but still, I always worry about there being a herpetic infection or something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't... I'm safe. We don't... We don't do anything like...
Marie, does he have oral sex with you?
No.
Oh.
Because you're talking about, like, the open wound.
Yeah, the herpes thing there. And then...
Isn't herpes not communicable from the lips of the mouth to the genitals?
It categorically is, and probably one of the most common way it's transmitted there. Sorry there, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, I just read an article today that was saying herpes type 1 is now... far outreaching in type 2, and it's primarily as a result of oral sex.
But okay, so now if she didn't have this cut, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. I mean, it's
sweet.
But that also, and she needs to talk to the boyfriend about being too rough, right? That just,
God, I did not come here to find out that there's any reason whatsoever not to practice oral sex.
Alyssa, 17.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm really attracted to, like, gay guys, like, making out. I don't know why.
You know, like... I think the two easiest ways to get laid for a guy are to be married or gay, you know?
Because a lot of women have a thing
where... Yeah, they want, you know, it's a challenge.
Well, they want the unavailable man.
Exactly. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
If dad was unavailable or an abuser or an alcoholic, that longing is what you long for, and states of chronic longing become associated with love and intimacy as opposed to real closeness.
You know, like I said, you know, I'm really, like... tolerant of, you know, like homosexuality. Like, I don't really, you know, I mean, like, do what you got to do. But I get damn grumpy when gay dudes are, you know, having sex with chicks that I might wind up having sex with. Bisexuality is like, I, you know.
Now, why does that bother you?
Well, because it's just like if you look at the statistics.
Hold on, Alyssa. Hold on, buddy, kiddo.
If you look at the statistics on AIDS, you know, like.
So you're worried about other diseases coming in?
Yeah, you know, I mean, geez.
So you have a little bit of sort of
It's bisexuality.
Chauvinism. A little chauvinism.
Maybe. I don't know.
So what's up with you, Alyssa? What do you like? What is it you like about it?
I don't know. It's only if they're emo. Like, they can't.
What does that mean? What does emo mean?
It's just
an
anal.
Driven punk. It's like goth, but less goth. I don't know. It's like, less dark and more Harry Potter-like. I don't know. They're the thick frame glasses and like the sweaters.
Is this like voyeurism here, or do you want to like get in on it with them?
I don't know.
You just want to watch, or?
It's just, I don't know. It's just really, really
hot. You're thinking like a guy again. Women, seriously, most women, when they have arousal from sex, it's just arousing. They don't think about direction with it.
Plus, they're really like everything's sort of
emotional
laden.
Piece. Yeah. More, much more emotionally laden, interpersonally laden. Well, Alyssa, what is the question you have for us? Is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Is it mean something? Yeah, it means something. Is it something you should sort of preoccupy about or seek? No.
Oh, well, I just don't know why I would do that. I don't know. My friends thought it was creepy.
Do you, you like guys, I take it? I mean, have you ever had sex with a gay dude?
I don't think so.
There's sometimes a distinction between what people like looking at and what they like having in a relationship. This is just something that arouses her sexually.
All right.
You know what I mean?
So now it's
a fantasy.
So now would you go to a homosexual porno store and buy
Harry Potter?
God, course. There's nothing worse than videos of dudes having sex.
Doesn't it?
It's just such a bummer.
Well, for heterosexual men, you have a visceral reaction to it. In fact, there's some functional MRI results. I actually had my brain scanned at a functional MRI center. Uh-huh. We look at images, and they show you images of men not having sex, but just sort of evocative images of uh-huh. men. And I thought, all right, whatever.
And the next thing you know, you came down with the flu.
No, my brain had a very powerful threat response.
You could see
the pattern. It was a threat pattern. And so it's sort of in us
a
little bit.
Your pupils got smaller?
Well, actually, is how the chemistry, how the metabolism works out in your head, where it's activating.
You know, when I was for this Camp Steve-O show, originally it was going to be a camp for kids, you know, and it was going to be like, wow, what if the most inappropriate, you know, ass... You know, in the
so in the world, like, it could be Jackass for kids, right?
Yeah, not really. It was just gonna be like, wow, you know, like, how'd you like it if a real jerk took control of your kids?
Oh.
And so then when I was gonna go when I was gonna cast for counselors at this camp, like, it was really an idea I had that, like, you know, like the Clockwork Orange sort of hold the eyelids open, you know, to force
you,
people.
You would get killed. You would get killed. Yeah, so one probably. Of the parents would just bring your neck.
Probably. But I was going to have people, like, sort of a screening process, you know, to become a counselor. People were going to have to, like, look at really creepy images, you know, of, like, you know, like naked kids or something. And, you know, and if anybody's pupils got bigger, damn it, they were out of there.
I mean, they're actually, like, turned on by it.
And that's, like, the best way to
determine,
right?
Well, they actually put penile tumescence monitors on them, too.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's some, the kind of thing that other people would think was funny. If that was maybe a little dark.
Should that be part of the show? The counselor?
You know, yeah, now, like, I shouldn't give away my creative, but...
Well, let me just point out. Steve? Yeah, dark, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about for now when the parents show up, like, you know, a polygraph, you know...
Polygraph's a great idea.
Polygraph orientation, you know, like, sort of... To figure out what the issues are with their kids so I can get to work it.
And just throw in a few other zingers.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, like, I turn the table and they get to ask me anything they want.
So, ooh, well.
You know, I'm going to be fair about it. But let's get back to this call.
No, we're going to take a break.
Oh, okay.
It's Steve-O. If you want your parents to be referred to Camp Steve-O, where they can be turned into cool parents or want to kill themselves.
And you know what? Like, it's a 16-day program, and just for getting through it, they automatically get $10,000 cash.
Wow.
And if they perform well, I can give parents up to $35,000. So.
Oh, I think I have to go now. I'm an uptight parent.
You know, dude, like, I wonder if you wouldn't be good there, Drew.
Well, I'm an uptight parent.
Yeah.
Camp Steve-O, 1-800-481-5952. Look for him on repeats of season 3 on MTV2 and upcoming season 4, The Wild Boys, in January. And
And my website, stevovideo.com. And get on there and place your bets over who's going to sue me first.
That's Steve-O. I think it might be me. Steve-O and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Awesome.
Yay! Yeah, yeah, Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Yeah.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us your call. Talk to Steve-O. The great thing about this show is people just kind of wander in and out. Steve-O, I just watched him wander outside for what reason, I don't know. I presume he'll be back here in a few minutes. But
he's
in
looking
the meantime,
for that guy that called up Max.
Oh, here he comes. Hey, Steve-O, thanks. Hi, Trey.
Can I get another Red Bull?
Can I have some coffee? While you get the Red Bull, I'll get some coffee. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming back.
Man, I wish I could remember the name of this pill I took last night so I could warn everyone about it.
What happened?
I don't know.
It kicked the crap out of you?
Yeah, it really, really did. Man, it was like, what's the strongest sleeping pill?
Restoril? Dalman?
No, I was Sepra or something, or I don't know.
Lunesta?
No. Like, it was
Seroquel?
It was a creepy one. You got to have like real problems to get that prescribed to you. I got it from these cholo gangsters in the war zone.
And it was a particular sleeping pill.
Sure. Is that really like the... frowned upon to say cholo.
You say lots of offensive things. And no one will take you.
I know those guys loved it. You know, like it seems like every time.
There's a new one called Remelaton that looks pretty good.
It's like,
it's a melatonin-based medication.
Why is it that every like new political correct term is so much more offensive than the term it replaced?
Isn't that weird? I agree with you. It's because minorities themselves decided it's what's going to be.
You know, little people is the one that bothers me the most. Like
as opposed to midget.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how tall you are. Don't call yourself a little person. You know, I mean.
Well, dwarfism is a specific syndrome. I mean, it's not just little. It's called achondroplastic dwarfism.
Well, you know, there's more like variations of you know
of little.
Yeah, it's like I remember Wee Man telling me like he's a you know a chondroplastic. You know,
achondroplastic, yeah.
Yeah, and
as opposed to a true midget is something different.
Yeah. But little person, you know, like, you know when someone says, I felt this big?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude.
Right. It seems demeaning, right?
Yeah, big things little. Come in small packages.
So, let's
kind of like my wiener.
Finish up with Alyssa, very small. Alyssa, so, did you have a question for us? She is turned on by watching gay men in Harry Potter outfits.
Did she say that she does rent gay porn?
No.
Where do you find these images? On the web?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, emo guys kissing, I don't know.
All right, and here we go. And what's the question?
Emo.
She just wanted to know if that's okay.
Is that it?
Like, why would I do that?
I don't have an answer. However, you sound like someone that's had a kind of a tough life and maybe some social issues. And, you know, this may be nothing, maybe sort of a transient preoccupation. I would say focus on doing productive things. That's the most important thing in your life right now. Do things that make you feel good. This is Amy. I don't mean by feel good. I mean feel good about yourself. Yeah. Dude, be productive. Amy, 27. What's up, Amy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
When I was 15, I was raped by, I guess you could kind of say it was a boyfriend at the time. I didn't even understand how to have sex when happened.
This was a date rape, like?
That's most of them, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we weren't really on an official date. We just happened to be together, but... you know, after that, I broke up with them. We didn't see each other for years. And
how old was he at the time?
So I guess he didn't make a report or anything.
No.
How old was he at the time?
I didn't do anything about it. And I've always have these fears that he's going to come back. He's going to do it again.
Right. How old was he at the time?
15.
He was also 15. Has he been known to misbehave or be aggressive or be a problem behaviorally?
He was extremely aggressive at the time, even leading up to it.
No, I know, but is he somebody that's known in your town? You still see him, yes?
Yes, this is true. I hadn't seen him for probably 10 years, and then I just run into him. And, of course, I was just acting like nothing happened, just trying to be nice, not, you know, provoke any kind of weird kind of conversation, and you know, he was like, oh, you're looking good, and it just kind of brought back all these weird thoughts of, I always felt like it wasn't over, like he was going to come back, and the comments he was making just made me feel like...
Well, here's my concern, Amy, is why you would feel so much under this man's sway, why you would be so powerless in response to this guy who is an idiot, who did some awful things to you when you were 15. He was 15 too, though. I'm not excusing him, but that doesn't mean that he now is a sexual predator. He's a bad, not a great guy. but it's not as though him saying, "Hey, you look nice," you could just easily taken that as just potentially been, "Hey, thanks," you know, as opposed to, "Oh my God."
I don't think that's how it was.
I understand that, but she certainly didn't experience it that way. And so my question is, were you sexually abused prior to that, and is that why you set up to be such a victim?
No, not prior to that. He was definitely the first person that ever...
Was there any physical abuse prior to that?
Yeah, by him.
No, I mean, by growing up when you were a little kid. Oh. Why do you feel so under the sway of a victimizer?
Gosh, I don't know. I feel like it all kind of goes back to him. I don't even understand why.
Yeah, it sounds to me like...
That's fine.
It sounds to me like you're blaming yourself for what happened too, and that's the biggest part of the syndrome.
That's
what's bothering me the most about.
So,
I feel like, well, if I wouldn't have, you know, said yes, I'll be your girlfriend, or you know, yes, we can hang out, I feel like it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's not right. That's a sort of a grandiose position. The guy was an idiot. You have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. You made some bad choices, but that's like saying, geez, if I hadn't been on the freeway that night, there would have been no car accident. But yeah, you're still going to drive to work. But, Amy, look, you need to get some treatment for all this. It sounds like something would be very, very simple to treat. Why don't you take advantage of that and get a therapist? That's a satellite glitch we get once in a while. No one else hears that except you and me.
Okay, sweet.
But why don't you see a therapist and get this sort of sorted out? I think it'll be a pretty easy thing to take care of, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do that.
All right, because
he's not coming back, and you needn't live in the shadow of this idiot, and nor feeling like you're a victim in any other circumstance either, okay?
Yeah, and just don't blame yourself for that.
Got it?
Okay.
Because the more you feel the blame, the more you are the person who gets victimized. And the more you will be the person that gets victimized. So let's not do that anymore. Let's find a way out of that. This is Doris, 18. Doris?
Yes?
18.
Sweet. Doris, you can let your parents go to Camp Steve-O?
Parents have to have kids between the ages of 7 and 17, so she just missed it. But she can come to Casa Steve-O.
What if she has a little brother?
that would work.
You have a little brother or sister?
Hello?
Oh, jeez. Doris, are you listening to anything we're saying? Is anybody listening to this? Doris, can you not hear us? Yes, Doris. Caller who gave us the name Doris.
Nobody's listening.
That's me, Doris.
Do you have a younger sibling?
A younger sibling?
She's wasted, huh?
Something.
What do you think she's on, dude?
Not sure.
Maybe
LA Unified School District, probably.
Maybe she's a big-time pot stoner.
Older brother and older sisters.
All right, Doris, what's your question?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend, and I've been with her for 15 months, like, she goes down on me and everything, but I haven't touched her or anything. She doesn't let me touch her at all.
All right.
So it sounds like she's not a lesbian.
Really? I mean she's been with me for 15 months, and she...
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah,
she's doing stuff to her, but she won't do anything in return. Why won't you do anything to reciprocate?
She won't let me. Like, I've tried, and she, stops me.
Weird.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, maybe she is a lesbian. I don't know.
Well, they're both lesbians. I'm sure.
So you want some advice on how to talk her into letting you go down on her?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
We'd have to talk to her, Doris. It's really hard to know.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, do you talk to her about it?
Yeah, I tried, but nothing comes out.
She's closed down. No, we'd have to talk to her. I bet there's some abuse stuff here. That just smells of that.
Man, when I'm watching porno, I fast forward through every. Eat out scene.
Whether it's girl or boy girl, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it sounds gay, but I have to have penis in my porn. You know, it's like a point of reference.
Why is that? What is that? To put yourself in it or what?
Yeah, you know, it seems like pornography without penises in it. It would be like a skateboard video without, you know, like with just ramps and nobody skating them.
Or some guy running around without a board.
Yeah.
This is for Steve-O. It's Tara.
Hey, I was wondering, Steve-O, I just have to say you're the sexiest mofo I've ever seen.
Thanks.
Yeah, anyways, I had a question. Do you prefer bald eagles or hairy?
I don't know. Really hairy can be a drag. But I don't know. To be honest, a George Michael stubble works under the Hitler stash is great. you know, the racing stripes, sweep, bald eagle. You know, I'm pretty down.
Letters?
It's just the pubic afro that I try to avoid.
This is now Dominique, 21.
That's Dominic.
Dominic, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Steve-O. I'm 21. I've been having sex 3 years. I've had some long-term relationships, shorter-term stuff. But 6 months ago, I was going out with this girl just for the first time, and she's, you know, super hot, and I'm into her. And then for some reason that night, I couldn't get aroused. I think it's because I was anxious about it or whatever.
Right.
But from then on, after that, I kind of cut it out because, you know, I moved on with other girls. And then on, I just...
Well, that's sad.
Ended that relationship. That's sad.
What's up?
It was sad. You ended that relationship?
No, well, I mean, we just kind of were hooking up. That was like the first time we hooked up. I couldn't get aroused, and so I was super embarrassed about it, and so I kind of like squashed that.
I wonder what, you know what I think that is like, you can be intimidated, you know, when the chick's so hard, yeah. It's like, oh, but,
I think that's it for sure. I was anxious about it, but then the problem is I moved on, but then every girl after that, I'm just super.
I wonder before he got in this situation, if he rubbed one out of the chamber, and that was the problem.
Well, but this is sort of a classic thing, is that once it happens once, it starts to generalize. It's the fear of the potential of it happening again.
Kind of like stuttering, again. Right? Like,
yeah, it's like, I'm going to stutter, and then you start stuttering. Yeah,
only at the worst times does it happen.
Yeah, and Dominic, that's a normal kind of a thing that happens a lot. The one thing I would ask you, though, is are you smoking a lot of pot or drinking or anything at the time in which you engage in all this?
No, the funny thing is, like, the one time I got super hammered, that's when I could get it up, and so that's what...
All right. Well, but it does... You should know that pot and, well, pretty much every drug you can use, either while you're using it or in withdrawal, can make these symptoms worse. So the downers in withdrawal make you worse. The stimulants when you're using them make it worse.
I think marijuana is a full... And you know, I told you about it. You know, it just really, really enhances orgasms. And
it makes
me even more of a premature ejaculator.
Interesting. Sometimes not. Sometimes it screws people up, though.
It's so ecstasy that just makes you Superman.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Just lost another 30,000 people to ecstasy now. Okay, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Camp Steve-O. Steve-O here with us tonight. If you want to refer your parents to Camp Steve-O, that number is 800-481-5952, 481-5952. Wild Boys Season 3 repeating on MTV2, Season 4 beginning in January. And Steve-O will be here with Dr. Drew at 1-800-LOVE-191, continuing to answer your questions in just a minute.
That's so funny. We lost another 30,000 people next.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Steve-O in studio. Let's get back to the calls here. This is Aiden, 23. Aiden, what's going on?
Hey, I was wondering if it's more than just a social stigma to have sex with a cousin.
Yeah, that's called incest.
Well, it's consanguinity. It's sort of frowned upon and illegal in some areas because it screws with the genetics of the children.
Well, it's gay.
So it's same-sex incest.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, it does put a new twist on it.
Yeah.
Then it really is a problem with what we call the Thanksgiving syndrome.
At least you don't have to worry about having inbred children.
No, that's right. That's his point, is what if it's gay? And then it's really an issue of stability for your family systems. You know, how do you deal with this relationship when it eventually breaks up, which eventually will, and you guys have to see each other every Thanksgiving and every Christmas and every Easter and
As a family, my side of the family and his side of the family really don't associate too often, so...
I wonder if that's what it's about, if it's sort of like,
rebellion
together. Show them. Yeah.
Is this 100% blood relative?
We're half cousins, if you will. We'd be first cousins if we shared the same grandpa, but we don't.
I'm trying to figure that out.
I'm not a mathematician.
I have to put a diagram. Say that again. You have what?
Like most first cousins would.
You have what?
We have the same grandma, but not the same grandpa, like most first cousins would.
You know what I think about, like this whole inbreeding thing? It's, I mean, if you look at the royal family of Britain, you know, yeah. like that right there is
a lot of people don't realize Steve-O was educated in English. Yeah. You could feel that British education coming through all the time.
Absolutely. You know, you look at the British royal family, and it's just staring right at you, you know, like why inbreeding is bad. So does that not mean that interracial reproduction is ever, like... That's good, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why people
genetic mixing enhances absolutely. The health of a population.
Yeah, it's like inbreeding is bad, and so the opposite of inbreeding would be interracial breeding.
Right.
And so it's like...
That mutts are healthier dogs than purebreds.
So when people get, like, offended by, interracial breeding, you know, then that's when I get offended.
Right. It's a weird... bothers me is that we pretty much all of our social values have some sort of biological sort of impulse behind it. And what the hell's that one? You know, if genetic mixing is a good thing, why do we fight against that?
Like people who are half black, half white, then don't they always seem to be like more attractive? And
listen, genetic diversity enhances a population. So the more mixing of genetics, the more healthy the population is going to be. That's well established in biology. Sarah, 25.
Hi, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
I'm in L.A., and I just heard you say that you want to party tonight in L.A.
You know, I am not afraid to party. Where are you at?
I'm in Anaheim.
You're fat.
Anaheim.
I'm not fat. Not at all.
I mean, it's all good. You got time to get here, right?
What?
After this call, you want to give me a ride home after the show? Yeah.
Sure. No, my cousin just got back from Vegas. And I'm going to call and say hello.
Okay. So you're not coming after the show? I mean, yeah, hop in the car and jam up, you know? I'm running a little low on grass, so if you can bring some of that. Yeah, we'll party. It's on. I don't have anything to do until this show starts tomorrow night.
I can call and sick to work. I don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of work do you do?
We might even be able to get you sick.
But I do have one question.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you.
All right, here you go.
Me and my cousin are, like, real big sex addicts.
Nice.
And it's really hard because, you know, we like to do it a lot, but we don't like people to think we're whores.
Oh, no.
Well, the only people...
I mean? I won't pay you nothing.
Sarah, the only people... That tend to get involved in judging women when they behave like that are other women.
Yep, thanks. Good, yep.
Very
exactly.
Men, for the most part, don't get involved in that. For the most part. At least in terms of being friends and hanging out and that kind of thing. They don't care. Now,
well, if you hook up with a guy and let's say all you want is...
Well, the other problem is,
All you want is what?
All you want to do is hook up. You don't want a relationship, you don't want anything. And then, if they don't call you back, is that because the sex is bad, or because...
It's because they just wanted to hook up, too. And a hookup, by definition, means...
You're fat.
Means that's all there's going to be is a single experience. That's not the way to establish a relationship. Relationships don't get going through hooking up. A hookup sort of is an agreed-upon, one-time experience.
You know what? When a woman says that a man is got very small equipment, and then, you know, he's not good in bed, and, you know, he's got a hair trigger. I really think what the woman is saying is that he didn't call back.
Right. She's angry. She's angry.
You know, I mean.
I agree with you. The other thing, Sarah, is that if you are truly a sex addict or sexually acting out at this point.
You would be on your way to this radio station. Well,
there is that.
Me and my cousin like to share. Can we have you both?
Oh, dude, totally. You know, and I would never tell you what to do, you know. Like, I can't stand being bossed around, you know. Like, I deal horribly with taking orders, so I don't give them. But if you want to come up and party with me, you know, like.
My cousin wants to know if you're hairy, because she doesn't like hairy guys.
Oh, no. Not even. I'm the, you know, just a, I've got a boyish figure, and, you know, like, yeah, no extra hair. Hey, Drew, can we patch her to someone who can give her directions?
You can talk, we're going to be taking a break in about a minute. You can talk to her over there somewhere.
Oh, nice.
But Sarah, here's the deal. If you are indeed sexually compulsed or acting out, this is going to become a very painful process for you. And you're hinting at the beginnings of all this. You're looking for something you're not going to find for this. And boy, women convince themselves that it's okay. And why shouldn't I be able to do this? And guys do this. The whole while getting more and more and further into a very painful pattern of behavior. So if indeed you identify compulsion or addiction here, after tonight with Steve-O, I suggest you seek a therapist immediately. Consider SA. Consider, you know, maybe they're, oh, they hung up.
Did they?
Yeah, they just hung up.
She actually wasn't listening because we're getting her info in here. So
Yes. Tell them to get here. Tell them to come here big time.
SA, might be other addictions involved here. And
Weird. You know, she says that she's only interested in hooking up. Then why would it bum her out that the guy didn't call back?
That's the point, is that she doesn't really understand what she's doing. She's convinced herself it's one thing when, in fact, it's another.
I mean, I'll call her back if she wants.
I have no large fake boobs as well.
Nice. Now, I've got a question for you, Drew.
After the break. After the break, okay. Steve has a question for me.
Okay, good.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
That's right. It's Love Line. He's Steve-O. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Camp Steve-O coming out soon. If you want to send your parents to a boot camp, it's 1-800-481-5952. Yeah. And Wild Boys Season 3 repeating on MTV2, January Season 4 coming
out. The only reason not to is if you don't want your parents to get $10,000 in cash guaranteed for making it through my program.
I think I'm going to do them. Does both parents have to go?
No. Just
either one.
One of the two.
One of the two.
They have to have kids between the ages of 7 and 17 to come to Camp Steve-O. It's a summer camp facility that I'm taking over and, you know, running as a rehabilitation center for uptight parents. You know, I really think that I'm going to bring people closer to their kids, you know, like, you know, it's going to be a really feel-good show. So I got this question for you.
Yeah, germs.
Like the germs that cause the common cold and the common flu, we're constantly surrounded by.
Yes.
And
for the most part.
So it's when you get a bad attitude and you know, kind of let your guard down.
Well, there are some things that live imbalanced, like in our lungs and in our airways, that if for whatever reason your immune system is knocked down, has a chance to set up an infection. There are other things that just we get exposed to and they attack.
Uh-huh.
You just happen to get exposed to the wrong place at the wrong time.
So if you have a good attitude, then you don't get the cold.
It depends on the pathogen. Some of them are just going to get you no matter what. But in general, good attitude, better immune function.
And, I was in Egypt when I was 13. I went on this week-long school trip. And, you know, they told us, you know, don't even mess with ice cubes, you know, like, you know, drink. They scared us so much about the tap water in Egypt that we were, like, taping up our butt cracks to take a shower. And then it's like...
Is that where you first had an experience with that kind of thing? Did you staple the tape on or anything?
No, but then it's like, you know, we're by the Nile River, and I see this dude dunk his toothbrush in the Nile.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, if tap water is so scary, then what the hell is the Nile?
Yeah.
You know, and this guy's just brushing his teeth, and I'm like, man. And then it occurred to me that if that dude went to, you know, England or America and drank tap water, that he'd probably get sick.
No, it's not the way it works. Is that because they've been dealing with that since they were young, they develop. They either die or they develop antibodies to the particular bugs that are in their water.
So that guy drinking tap water in America
would be fine.
Wow, because you know what, like, you know, later on, then I started traveling around doing all this Wild Boys, and you know, like 1 year I went to like 28 countries.
Wow.
And
right in the mic.
And so having thought about this experience I had in Egypt, I vowed to drink tap water on every continent.
Oh.
I drank tap water in India, Indonesia, Kenya, Rwanda, all through South America. Because I'm thinking that I'm building my immune system.
You may be.
Yeah.
You may be. In fact, you know, one of the you know that book, Germs, Guns, and Steel? The guy sort of gives a history, evolutionary history based on basically biology and the kinds of things that evolve that attack populations and things. And he had an interesting theory about why males would show themselves, why males would go out and do self-destructive things on behalf of showing their prowess to, say, women. You know, why would women find that attractive?
And they do, you know, they really do.
They do. And his theory was that if you can withstand all that and survive what you do to yourself, you must have some good genes. And so women want the genes then. And so that would also, this would be more evidence of that same kind of behavior. Like, I'm proving my genes can withstand all this. I'm going to drink water in every continent.
Yeah.
You may be right. Maybe they can. Maybe they are good genes.
I mean, I really think that, you think that I'm doing the right thing? That I should.
No. Very few things you do, I think, are right. But I'm far be for me to judge. So let's get some calls going here. This is Cheryl, 30.
Evo.
Yeah.
Hey, do you ever come to Monterey?
Monterey? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I've been there. I do not own
Carmel.
A car. I don't own a car or drive, so my geography's pretty bad.
James Dean died on his way up there, so careful.
Oh, no way, rad.
Rad.
Well, I just wanted to say, if you ever do, you were wanting to get laid. Obviously, you found something for tonight.
You know what? In the middle of that phone call, that chick hung up, and then, you know, I mean, she just walked right in and out of my life like that, you know? Why don't you have to head on over?
She's in Monterey. It'll take her 6 hours to get here.
Oh, damn.
She's going to fly out. All right.
Sarah.
Take some more calls.
Sarah, call us again.
Or Sarah, call Steve's cell phone.
I love how, like, it's a blind date. And, you know, like, no matter what shows up, it's like, you know, I'm in.
Susan, 29.
Hi, Dr. Drew, and hi,
hey, Susan.
I think you guys are both awesome.
Thanks. What's going on there?
I was calling because I listen to you guys all the time. Well, I listen to you, Dr. Drew, all the time. And I usually agree with everything that you say, believe it or not.
Right.
But you've made, like, a couple references in the last couple weeks to the fact that girls who are victim of date rapes, usually it's because they put themselves in that situation because they...
No. That they blame themselves for being in that situation after the fact.
Yeah, hold on. Don't let me be super clear.
Okay.
No, we're not putting blame on anybody. Anybody who is a victim, that the blame is not the issue. In fact, we spent some time with that last caller saying it's a grandiose posture to blame yourself because that makes you that person who is a victim who gets victimized because I make that happen to myself. That's a very, very grandiose, inappropriate, unhealthy way to position yourself. And so Steve went into it too about not blaming yourself.
Yeah.
What I have said is that very commonly, when a 14 or 15-year-old is raped, when they use the word rape, antecedent to that, there's some sort of trauma that sets them up to be a good victim. Victimizers somehow know victims. I don't know how they do it. They smell it. And that previous victimization sets them up for victimizers to take advantage of them. And so a second rape in early to mid-adolescence is very common.
Yeah.
See the difference?
No, not really. Because, I mean... Okay, I was a victim of date rape when I was...
Susan, not universal, not every date rape, but it's very common. I'm not saying if you had a date rape, you necessarily had...
Drew's getting grumpy.
You necessarily had sexual abuse before. If you had a date rape, I'm terribly sorry. It's an awful thing. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time with some awful person. It doesn't mean you were sexually abused prior to that, though it's very common when people are in those situations.
Right, but you can understand how it's an offensive for someone who's been date raped to hear, oh, it was because you were a good victim. Like, that means, like, that you subconsciously, like, put that out there to somebody. And, like...
No. You're still in that victim mode. You're taking the blame. that is, when you've been a victim, your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in with a freeze response more readily. That's a fact. It's what happens when you've been victimized. And victimizers somehow know that's how you're going to respond when they overwhelm you. It's not your fault. It's just what is biologically. It's not something you're responsible for. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and by definition, rape is non-consensual. You know, so Obviously,
it's not your fault.
You know, like, you don't consent to it. It happens against your will.
And yet
you didn't make it happen.
You're wanting to have people blame you for it, even us who are telling you
exactly.
It's the last thing we would want to do.
I mean, like a man forcing himself on you, you can't do anything about. So it's not a situation that you caused to happen. So our message is don't blame yourself for it.
But if you've been a victim,
it's not your fault, so don't act that way.
If you've been a victim, that freeze response will be readily evoked, and you need some treatment for that so victimizers don't come upon that again and take advantage of that quality that you have. You see?
All right, I guess.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you made Dr. Drew grumpy. I've never seen that before.
Jessica, 25. What's up, Jessica?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Drew?
We're good, Jessica. Steve-O's on tonight. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. I don't get, it's not grumpy. It's that I cannot stand when people, when you say something and they see it through the prism of their own issues and they make you responsible for how they're feeling. It's like, no, you, that is not what we meant. You're going to have to listen to what we're actually saying. It's not what we meant. Yeah, I know it's what you're experiencing. It's not what we meant. Time to start listening, goddammit. Ooh, wow. That's when I was yelling at Adam, though. Jessica, what's up?
Now, listen.
Listen.
Well, that was grumpy. That was bad. Expunge the record for that one. All right, Jessica, what's up there?
Hi, Steve. I'm a big fan.
Hey, thank you. I'm a huge fan, too. OC, no.
Well, my question was, it's a little bit awkward. I've been with my boyfriend for about a year now. And prior to, like, the last month or so, we haven't had any kind of problems like this. But I've noticed in the last month or two that his penis has started to smell.
This is a very, very bad sign.
Why? You've been somewhere else?
What was that?
Oh, okay. So your boyfriend has a stinky penis. It smells like fish.
It's not even just that it smells bad. It's a specific smell. It smells fishy.
Is it only when he's very aroused that he gets that smell? Because sometimes, believe it or not, no.
Okay, is it just because his hygiene's bad? I mean,
right after he takes a shower, and it was
right after he takes. See, I remember one time this girl, I can't say blowjob. This girl was giving me a blowjob, and she said, "You know, I just can't do this. It stinks. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, if a man sort of like...
How'd you take that? You move right on?
I was just like, damn, you know, like this was in my circus days, you know? And like, I was really exerting myself a lot throughout the day. But it's like, hey, you know, jump in the shower, you know, scrub up. And it's basically like a, you know, ball sack sweat. It just doesn't smell good.
Right.
But now if this guy goes in the shower and you know, scrubs his junk and then it stinks, now that is a bad sign, right?
And I've also noticed that he notices it too, and I think it embarrasses him. I think he's been more reluctant to let me perform oral sex on him, and so I noticed it today, and it was really bad, and I just was wondering if it's maybe a sign of an infection. I know there's infections that girls can get that it can present like that.
I would say it's a sign that your boyfriend has been cheating on you.
Well, there is that too. That can happen. But is he uncircumcised?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
All right, so that's so it's areas.
He's got an anteater.
It's areas where the aardvark, please. It's areas where the oxygen can't reach that the bacteria that produce gas can grow. So it's in the creases in the testicles, and it's under the skin of the foreskin. So one of the things you can try.
He can pull his foreskin back and clean that.
But he's got to keep it. He's got to get it dry, bone dry. So he really might try taking a hair dryer, pulling things down, drying things off extremely dry.
Okay.
And letting it sit, and maybe a little powder even down there, and then see what that happens. Then what about some sort of spray, some sort of cologne?
How can you account for this being a new?
What was that? Thing?
Is it new, or has he always been this way?
She said before the last month, it was fine.
It's been about 2 months, and we became sexually active. Maybe like I thought it might be my fault because we became sexually active like 4 months ago, and I was thinking, well, maybe it's something that I have, but I've never noticed myself smelling like that. But I was also wanted to ask that.
She said that it was perfectly fine, and then now all of a sudden, you know,
his
mushroom bowl reeks.
99.9% sure that he's loyal. So.
Yeah. You could always get checked too to make sure it's not something that's sort of rubbing off, as it were. It's true. I mean, women would do get bacterial infections, and that would be a different problem. God. I would try the drying off issue, though, and then maybe some sort of cologne or something, just try to powder, whatever.
You know, it's just crazy, man. Like when you're watching network television, you know, they have the dating shows going.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that, like, drugs that are, you know, government approved, that advertising for them, they get, like, a break on the cost of the advertising time. But still, network TV television commercials just are not cheap.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And the fact that they have Valtrex commercials
every
single commercial break, I'm just sitting there, you know, just thinking, wow, like, for them to even recoup their advertising money, that means so many people have to have herpes.
That's right.
That it actually puts the fear of God in me.
It's a very common infection.
And that's why I'm just so glad that I'm really, like, that much of a premature ejaculator. Because, you know, like...
That, unfortunately, won't save you.
Well, no, but that's why it's like... You know, I really, you know, I go straight for the condom because it's like
that'll
increase my stamina because I won't be able to feel as much.
In fact, a article just came out this week in something called Annals of Internal Medicine that showed that the condom is very effective against herpes viruses, quite effective. And to quote the article, should be recommended.
Oh man, yeah, it's like, you know, a lot of guys say, you know, like, oh, I hate condoms because I can't feel anything. It's like, that's exactly why I love condoms, because, you know, they make me last almost a minute.
Bell 14. Bell?
Hello?
Caller who goes by Bell. What's going on there? You're on with Steve-O.
What's up, baby?
Hey, I love you, Steve-O. You rock.
Well,
you're so
thank
awesome.
You, baby.
Yeah.
What's up there?
She's 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Get off.
Ooh, Bell and Tamara, it says here. Tamara. Yeah.
Yes. You know, in Canada, the age of legal consent for sex is 14.
Wow.
Do you know how absolutely
bizarre that is?
It's just abhorrent.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah. Okay.
Bell, okay. This is, yes.
I like this guy, and I think that he hates me, but I'm not sure what to do.
You know, she's so young. This could be the latency period still in effect. You think?
Could be. Steve-O is speaking in tongues now. So why would you want to go after a guy that mistreats you?
No, but I'm not sure if he does, because, like...
Well,
I think that could be an indication that he actually likes you, you know? Like, how old is this guy?
He's 13.
13, yeah, you know, this is the latency period thing.
No,
yeah,
13,
it's true.
Tomorrow's 14.
What's that? It
doesn't matter about the age. It's like, whatever. No, but you said that you were 14. Dude, whatever, I don't give a... Question.
Ooh. Okay, Belle just dropped a big old S-bomb, and so she has relinquished her right to be on the radio. This is now Gabby, 16. Gabby? Caller who goes by Gabby.
Tips on how to shave his pubes.
We'll get him next. This is Gabby, 3. You there, Gabby? 2, 1. Bye, Gabby. This is now Kyle. Whoops. This is Kyle. Kyle, what's up?
I'm having problems with razor burn.
Steve-O?
Okay, is it really that important to get the Kojak look, you know? Why don't you just get clippers, bro?
Well, my girl really, you know, she hates hair. And,
yeah, but he's talking about just getting it close.
Yeah, I mean,
but
if you're getting razor burn, you know, like I can't stand, you know, actual... razors, you know, I do the electric shaver thing.
Even in your face, yeah.
Yeah, like especially, you know. I mean, I guess I just don't even grow that much facial hair. But, you know, this is simple, bro. Get a set of hair clippers and, you know, I like...
By clippers, he means those things you hold and go... Like you hit
hair,
a, get a marine,
clippers,
like a marine would take a haircut with.
Yeah, I mean, like...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, get one of those and there you go.
And you know what's really funny, too? Like, that makes it easier to actually... save, you know, like all the pubic, and then you can roll up your pubic hair.
I'm just so frightened about where you're going, but go ahead, keep going.
You know, like
put dreads in your hair with your pubes?
No, you take a cigarette rolling paper, you know, and like you roll up pubic hair like a joint.
Yeah.
You know, and then you give it to your bro and say, let me light that for you.
So, and he smokes your pubic hair?
Yeah, it's so funny to get your friends to smoke your pubic hair, and that way it's not a doobie, it's a pubie. Yeah. And that way, you know, I don't know how you would ever be able to roll a pubie, like, if you're using a straight razor, dude. Just get clippers, man.
Oh, now that is a compelling argument. I'm so glad you put it that way. See, Kyle, not only we avoid the razor burn, but you'll retain the opportunity to present your bros
with
pubes.
There's so much stuff you can do with pubic hair that's just absolutely
hysterical. What else?
Oh, I don't know. You can, you can make a. You know, mustaches, like,
glue it on.
If you can convince your bro that he needs to be in disguise for any reason, you know, you can make him a mustache, and so you've got all of your pubic hair on his upper lip. Nice.
When we refer our parents to Camp Steva, can we look forward to them wearing pubes? Beards?
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if my pubic hair is going to, you know, that might... I don't know, but I can't rule it out as a possibility.
All right, this is...
How much of a pubic afro do you have down there?
No, none. He's got razor burns.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. This is now we're gonna go to.
Razor burn. I wonder if he's shaving his balls and getting razor burn on there. I can't even imagine a straight razor to the scrotum.
Ben, 13.
Hello.
Hey Ben, what's up, buddy?
Hello.
Ben? Hi Ben, what's going on? You're on with Steve-O.
Hello?
Yeah, dude, what up?
I'm 13 years old, and mm-hmm. I have to explain to my mom that I'm not a virgin anymore.
Why on God's earth do you have to do that?
And why aren't you?
Because, I kind of got her pregnant.
No, Ben.
So you
didn't.
Might have, okay, all
no,
right.
No, you didn't. Come on, Ben. There's a universal sort of... treaty here that when you call bogus call and we call it out as bogus, you have to admit that it's bogus. So
what? I mean, yeah, you know, Dr. Drew is a pretty insightful dude. You know, like I can't even believe the way that callers call up and like one sentence out of their mouth, and he knows like how their childhood was. You know what they might be addicted to, and you know I'd say if he calls you out as a bogus call, you know my money says he's right.
I'm not a bogus caller.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
All right, well, okay, well, you know, it's so funny. Like, I have to explain to my parents that I'm not a virgin anymore. I just was bummed that it took me so long to explain that to you, know? I was all, Dad, high five, yeah. My dad was psyched, you know?
Oh, really? How old were you?
It was November 3rd of 1990. At the time, I kept a diary, and I remember, like, you know, I wrote down, like, November 3rd, 1990, like, I have finally been relieved of the burden of virginity. I really felt like, you know, oh, man, it was wild. And I remember just like, Dad, you know, like, sweet, I got totally laid. And of course, I didn't mention that she said, are you already done? Oh. And even, you know, now I'm 31 years old and I've heard, is that all? You know, like, I've heard, what about me?
Oh.
You know, like, I've heard, you have got to be freaking kidding me.
Oh, no.
You know? And it's just like,
oh, no.
You know, I mean, I didn't, you know, like, it just turns out I'm not that good in bed. That's disappointing, but at the end of the day.
Can't you do other things and do a second round and whatever?
I can try, but at the end of the day, I'm comforted to know that you know, it's not giving women orgasms that I want to go down in history for. You know, it's being totally rad and crazy. You know, like, so it's like
you got that pretty much down.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not that great in bed.
Hey Ben.
Yeah.
If this is for real, this is a very, very serious issue, and you're forcing me to take this as seriously as it.
Well,
needs
I mean,
to be taken.
Man, even if it is a bogus call, you know, like
how old is the girl?
She's 14.
So this needs to be taken care of immediately. How far along is she?
Well, she thinks she's pregnant because she's had like four of those home pregnancy tests, but I'm not sure. But if it's true, like I want to see a doctor first.
Yes.
But if it is pregnant, I just want to like, how do I tell my mom? Because I know she's really gonna kill me.
Dude, how do you have a kid when you're damn 13? You know, like what's worse? You know, like. Damn, disappointing your mom or becoming a freaking dad. I mean, think about the life that your child would have. Like,
yeah, this,
you know,
this is either adoption or whatever. But you, yeah, this, you need to.
I mean, yeah, just think about if you told your mom down the road that you were a father, how much worse that would be than if you just said, "Hey, mom."
Listen,
you
made a mistake. Your parents are there to help you. They are not going to love you less because
yeah,
of this.
And
hopefully they will get you some help for this because this is a sign that things aren't going so right for your band right now.
Yeah, and however bad the trouble is you're in now, it is nothing compared to the trouble that you're going to be in, like, increasingly.
Is there any chance the girl's lying? Any chance the girl's lying?
I don't know. She didn't. Well, I've known her for a long time, and she really didn't seem like a liar. I mean, I'm sure she's young. I'm sure she's not something she want to junk around with.
All right, well,
And you had sex with her, huh?
Yeah.
Is this the first person you had sex with?
Yeah.
You know, he's 13. I didn't get laid until I was 16.
Well, 13 is be very unusual. Very unusual. Not unheard of, but unusual.
You know, like, I don't think that's true, but just judging by how high this kid's voice is, doesn't seem like his balls have dropped.
Right. That's what I was sort of responding to. It didn't sound like it was possible that he'd get somebody pregnant.
But in any case, dude, if that's the case, then it's funny to tell a 13-year-old kid to be a man, but be a man, dude.
Well, or be a... Be just, trusting of your parents. They are going to want to help you. They're going to want to be a part of this.
Yeah, you know, like...
What do your parents do for a living?
My mom works at a college.
Yeah.
And, well, she's divorced from my dad. And my dad, I really don't know what he does. Like, he works with, like, those, like, gas trucks and stuff, like, color-coding them to tell them where do they go. And
all right, but mom works around other young people, so she understands what goes down here and how to get help. You must be completely freaked out by this. I'm sorry you're having to...
I'm blown away that, like, what he's scared of is telling his parents. You know, they're going to find out one way or another, and especially if you become a damn father.
Yeah, I would suggest you get them involved right now. Don't wait for the special confirmatory test by the doctors and whatnot. Get your parents involved, because the fact that you're in this deep... at this young of an age, really means your parents need to be involved with your life very deeply.
Yeah, they are going to be a lot more pissed if.
Well, and if you get the pissed part, they're going to be worried about you. They're going to be hurt. They're going to be, you know, it's going to really be something they're going to want to be.
It's only going to get worse, dude. So handle it now. So just nip this in the bud, pal.
Tell your parents immediately. Do not go. And she has to tell her parents too.
Wear rubbers too. You won't come so fast. I can say that.
Yes, you can. In fact, we got a guy calling next. Hold Ben on
without
hold.
Without a condom, less than 5 minutes.
I want to talk to him a bit off the air.
Condom, can't orgasm.
Right. We're going to talk to him after the break. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm going to talk to Ben a little bit off the air here.
That's funny.
And we'll be back with more Love Line after this.
Love Line. How do you want me to say it?
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Steve-O again is missing in action. Last time when he was in the studio, well, time before last really, when he came up MIA, lo and behold, we discovered that somebody had urinated all over someone's desk. Wonder who that could have been. I can't imagine. It's kind of like having like an animal loose in the building or something.
That was when Chris was with him, though. He's more tame by himself.
And Chris Pontius was with him at the time, but much more tame. He's out there doing something, though, I guarantee you. So I just finished talking to Ben off the air, and he guaranteed me that if he didn't tell his parents, he at least would go with his girlfriend to Planned Parenthood, and he will also call us back later and let us know how he's doing. I was persuaded that it was real. He was freaking out pretty good there, and he had some other issues with the law and whatnot. So he's a kid that's been behaving. Steve-O back, by the way.
Yes, sir.
No, the kid's been having trouble for a while, and the mom's been on his case, and... He needs a lot of help.
The only thing that made me think that he was lying was just...
He didn't sound like he could
sound
be
like
able to.
He really had puberty.
Yeah, but he evidently has. So, and who knows who the girl is or what her deal is, or maybe she's lying about who knows. But he needs help in any event. So Camp Steve-O, if you want your parents to go through a boot camp where they can learn to be like Steve-O, it's 1-800-481-5952.
Not as much like, you know, I don't want people to become like me as much as just loosen up, you know, and...
I need to go. I'm going. I'm going. This is Danny 19. Oops. Danny, what's going on there, Danny?
Hey, Steve-O. Hey, man. I got to say, you are probably one of the coolest role models out there today.
Let's sort of add up the role model score. Let's see. Has a death wish. Drug and alcohol.
Didn't go to college.
He well-trained, well-educated. Yeah. In the British system. I'll give him that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Hey, I need to tell him a cool trick you can do with jellyfish.
Ooh. Ah, man, like the jellyfish yarmulke, I already did it.
Wow. Well, kind of. You can do that, I guess. But I was surfing out in the water, and this jellyfish floated by me, so I kind of cupped it with my hand on the jelly part.
Yeah, the top.
The safe area, yeah, and pushed it over and stung my friend's foot with it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
You know, like
that's what he's supposed to do. Hey,
that's mean spirited. You know, like
you know, like people call yourself mean spirited.
You know, you won't really catch me, you know, messing with anybody but myself. You know, and that's why I kind
I've seen you in a hammock over lions with another guy.
Well, yeah, but you know, like mean spirited towards other people isn't really my MO. You know,
that's
like,
true.
And that's why, like,
you put jellyfish on your head?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
What kind? One of the Pacific ones here?
I filled an aquarium with jellyfish and dunked my head in it.
Doesn't that really hurt?
Yeah, I called it bobbing for jellyfish. They were only moon jellies though. So,
you know the ones with the purple stripes on
them? Like hell.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
No, yeah, there's man o' war.
You can't do the man o' war.
Box jelly, you do not do that.
No, but the ones we have here, the purple stripes on the top. Seen those? They're white with the purple stripes. Did you write that F-U word up there?
No.
That's interesting. those hurt.
People see a jellyfish, you know, and they see a jellyfish. I'm always pretty careful about the battles I pick.
All right, let's talk to...
Okay, but no, let's talk about this is the dude who...
The condom guy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to get.
Oh, nice.
This is Steve,
nice.
20. Steve?
Hey, I just want to say, Steve-O, I love your tattoo, man.
Which one?
Yeah.
On your back. The picture of you on your back.
Well, thank you, dude. Thanks for that.
But I actually have a question for the doctor, Saval.
Steve's an expert on this, by the way.
Yeah, this is premature ejaculation.
That's, you know, something I've never heard you talk about is, where did Steve-O come from?
You know, my last name is Glover. And
that explains it.
Ever since I was a little kid, you know, people are like, even like the smart people, like, oh, you know, like, you wouldn't happen to be related to Danny Glover, you know? It's like, that just got old, and people have, you know, associations with my last name. First time I got on stage in front of hundreds of people, I said I was Steve-O, the alcoholic gymnast, and...
Was that a clown name kind of thing?
No, it was way before I became a clown. And, you know, the crowd was chanting, Steve-O, Steve, you know? And
just stuck.
I realized no one would ever scream Steve.
Right,
you know, and so, yeah, that's where it came from.
And there's also, I the inflection can be different. It's Steve-O.
Yeah.
Steve-O.
Steve-O, yeah. No one's ever going to, you know, scream Steve. So I understand you you have a problem with being quick on the draw.
I'm surprised Steve-O was talking, hang on a second, Steve-O, was talking about how that made you bad in bed. That doesn't have to make you bad in bed, does it, Steve-O? If you stop right there, that's bad.
I mean, yeah, it's like I'll tend to really, you know, ejaculate very, very quickly and then be asleep. So
you don't make an effort to.
I do what I can. You know, I try, but I really just don't think I'm that good in bed. So now you're saying,
are you freaked out about germs, doing things for a long time, or exposing yourself to other body parts and things where you might pick something up?
Yeah, you know, depending on you know, depending on the client. I mean, like...
Well Steve.
Yeah. Well, me and my girlfriend, you know, we're testing. We don't have STDs or anything. But when we have sex without a condom, I don't know. I can't go long at all. I finish insanely quick. Like, it's very depressing on my part.
It feels good.
But, I mean, my girlfriend...
What about round two?
Round two, well, that's a different story.
All right, so sweet.
I'm out of juice, you know. By then, I just keep going. But
well, that's good. You're good.
But when I put a condom on, like, let's say I won't have sex for a week, and I'll put a condom on, and I could go hours, like, literally, I'll go for 2 hours, get all sweaty, and she can't walk anything. She can't move anymore. She's done. She falls asleep.
See, the problem is you're not being promiscuous enough, you know? Like, if you always have sex with a new girl, you know, then it's no problem, and you know, like,
the quick thing is,
yeah,
see.
If you have sex with the same person over and over and over, then of course you can't orgasm with a condom on. That's why you've got to be more of a slut, Steve.
Views and opinions being issued here tonight are those of Steve-O, not necessarily those of this show, the station you're listening to, or Dr. Drew.
I was curious though, is like, will I ever get used to feeling last longer, or is it? It's just I'm just always a sensitive person.
You're pretty much, your clock is your clock. Steve has been working on this for years, and it hasn't changed too much. But you can learn to work with it.
I really think that, you know, my problem, my stamina issues have
improved.
Not improved at all. You know, I'm they call me the cheetah. You know, the fastest land mammal. But I think that saved me from STDs, you know, like...
You keep alluding to that. I'm trying to figure out what you mean by that.
Well, because let's say if, you know, if I didn't have stamina issues, then, you know, I wouldn't be as inclined to reach for the condom. And okay. I'd be having promiscuous, unprotected sex. And then I'd be riddled with STDs.
Well, I see. If you couldn't ejaculate, you wouldn't want to put the condom on.
Right.
Okay. And then, but then you also seem to avoid oral contact because that's another way you could get STDs. Is that why you're avoiding that?
Not necessarily. I just like.
You just rather sleep.
If I, yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, I just like, you know, a lot can happen in a minute. You know, time is money.
Jennifer, 18.
Yeah.
Oh my. Hey, what's going on there?
Well, basically, I've been with my man, I guess, for like a couple months or whatnot, and I seem to keep on messing around with the same female on the side.
Mm-mm.
And I was wondering if it's like...
I've never heard of that bumming a guy out.
No, when he found out or whatever, he got really pissed off.
What, because he was mad because you weren't bringing your girlfriend into
No, she's a stud, so it's like...
Oh, she's the male in the relationship.
Yeah, basically.
Well...
So she's more of like a man-hater?
Not necessarily. She's just... I don't know, but...
simplest way to look at this, Jennifer, is that you need to make a decision, and it's just the surface issue, whether or not you're going to be in a relationship or not. And if you're going to be, you have to sort of make a commitment to one or the other,
mm-hmm.
and stick with that. And if you're not, you're just going to date, you have different people, then declare that to your people you're messing around with here.
But it's, I like kind of like messed up in the process because like being 18 and stuff, I'm already like married to him. So it's like,
what do you mean you're married to him?
I'm married to him.
Do you have kids?
You got married?
Yeah.
Was this out of wedlock?
What, like, we're married through papers, like, not through...
Well, no, I'm saying that...
Why the hell did you get married?
Were you pregnant?
No, I was never pregnant, no.
Why did you get married? Why in the world did you get married?
I don't know. It seemed like the right thing. I wish I could say I was drunk, but I wasn't.
Why don't you have this annulled?
She wishes she could say that she was drunk.
It's a horrible, horrible idea at your age. Somebody that...
admitting it was dumb?
Yes. Not only are you ambivalent or regretful that you had a marriage, you not only are not able to commit to a relationship, you haven't even decided your sexual orientation yet. You're confused about that. This sounds like a horrible situation. So,
unless the guy's got a lot of money, right?
I guess so. I don't know. I'm overwhelmed by Jennifer. You got some advice for her?
I would say, you know,
18.
Try and talk this girl into getting into the bed with your man. And
husband. It's not her man.
Yeah,
it's going to screw up that relationship. You bring another person in there, things are going to get effed up. So,
yeah.
Oh, thank God.
I really don't have any advice.
Another issue. No, let me just keep it simple with Jennifer. Do not get pregnant. Oh, my God. Do not get pregnant. Get on some sort of long-acting birth control. Do not get pregnant. Wear the patch. Go continuously. Whatever you got to do, whatever works for you, do not get pregnant. Tara, 14. Tara?
Tara.
Tara,
Yeah, you're batting average with these, you know, name pronunciations.
Yeah, you're messing my name up, dude. It's Tara, like terracotta, terra firma.
All right, Tara, what's going on?
Yeah, Tara.
Yeah, that was actually kind of a dick move. Can I say that?
That's my point. Who cares? We don't know you, Tara. We're clearly speaking to you. I apologize if I mispronounced your name, but let's get going.
All right, Tara, what's the issue over here?
Well, like, okay, I'm 14, and, like, I'm, like, really easily stimulated. And
yes.
I don't know if there's, like, something wrong with me because, like, I'm always horny. And I'll be, like, talking to somebody, and, like, just it's there. And, like, I've been offered sex so many times, and, like, my parents are, like, highly religious. And they're, like,
good.
Tight, like, all the time. They don't, like...
You're Mormon?
Anything.
I wonder if that's got anything to do with why she's...
No, I don't know what it is, but, like, my parents, like, don't let me do anything, and I live in Idaho, so there's nothing to do.
Oh,
like,
thank
the
God.
The Catholic school syndrome, you know, like...
Thank Christ.
Well, I do, to like, I go to public schools, and, like, my parents actually just transferred me last week so I wouldn't get into trouble.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's nothing to do in Idaho but have sex and do drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's what you do in Idaho.
God, it's just, you know, it's the exact same thing in Hollywood, man.
Like, there's nothing to do. And, like, I don't know if there's something wrong with me because that's, like, all I want to do.
Are you actually having sex?
Like, no, because good. My parents like would totally
but Tara,
kill me if
it,
I did.
Well, let me just say, it's too early. Just sure. Hang in a couple years. It's going to mess you up. Are you looking at stuff on the internet and that kind of thing?
Huh?
Are you looking at stuff on the internet?
No, because that's kind of like my parents have blocked that all off.
Good. Excellent. This stuff, you're going to spin out of control if they go, if you go on that path.
Parents need to understand that, like, you know, being strict and, like, really important, you know, that it's just going to blow up in your face, you know? Like,
But they really do need to contain this one until she's 16.
Like when this one, you know, assuming, let's say she graduates high school and goes off to college, she's going to just lash out, right? I mean,
could be, but here's the deal. The one thing they're doing right is to try to really delay this as much as possible. And first of all, you'll never meet a woman that wishes she'd lost her virginity earlier, or it's rare to find a woman who wishes that she hadn't waited longer. It's relatively rare. And at 14, it's really the case that your brain hasn't developed to the point where you could handle the emotional cost or the emotional experience of being involved with somebody that way. It's just too much.
So are you masturbating enough?
Well, yeah, I do that a lot.
There you go.
But see, like, what's horrible is, like, the people that I've, like, dated, they, like, try to force you into it. And, like, one guy broke up with me because I wouldn't.
Oh, no, he's an a-hole. Come on.
Yeah, and, like, it's totally, irresponsible, like, what people do. And
yes,
they think
agreed.
I'm, like, a party pooper because I'm not into it yet.
No, Tara, what you're feeling is good. It's a healthy, normal biology. But just hold it off and don't let these a-holes drag you into stuff you're not ready for.
I think that having respect for yourself like that is actually pretty attractive,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
And believe me, the guys are all experiencing what you're experiencing. They're all just, trying to contain this horrible, this intense feeling.
You know, this sounds just like emotional blackmail, you know? Like, psychological abuse.
Absolutely. That's what those. These are abusive guys you're dating, and just get rid of them.
And they're only going to want you more, and so the
and
longer
the better guy, truly good guys are going to come along because these are not those guys, and you're going to learn to sort those out.
Her commodity as a stock is on the rise. Is that right?
Yes, and the more the rarer the commodity, the higher the price.
Exactly.
So, Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Steve-O.
Yeah,
Steve-O coming up. 1-800-481-5952 if you'd like to refer your parents to be Steve-ified. God help them all. And we will be back after this.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Steve-O in studio tonight on Loveline, and for those of you that were not lucky enough to speak to Steve-O but are on hold waiting for him, if you don't get through tonight, he will be back again tomorrow night on Loveline. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe, you know, like...
I want to have Steve-O night. I want to have, like, Tuesday Steve-O's, Steve-O Tuesdays.
Yeah, I love being here, man. It's always a blast.
We do a good job, and I guess hopefully you'll have survived the night. God knows what Sarah's going to do to you across the evening, so be it.
The one drawback is that people might find out that I'm not as dumb as I'd like them to think I am. You know, I might, you know, I really don't, you know.
You're kind of sensitive, too.
Yeah, it's like, I've got you know, like, I've got a career in sort of being this idiot, you know, and it's.
I disagree. I disagree. I think you having multiple facets makes it even more fascinating. Because then it's like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
He's the same guy.
Why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
It's the same guy. That's the same guy that studies the Queen's English at a boarding school in London.
Yeah, it wasn't a boarding school. It was the American school in London, and so I was on American curriculum, but
where were you in college? What university were you at?
I went to University of Miami, briefly. And then graduating from Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Clown College made me the only Jackass cast member to have graduated from college with a diploma. Yeah.
Lauren, 17.
Hi.
Hey there.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to know if having, like, anal is bad for you.
What's bad is if you go in door number one and then door number two and then back to door number one.
Door number one will then get the bacteria introduced, will cause infection and PID and all those good things.
But
well, door number one, door number two, rather. I like the poetry of that. All that. Door number two is a part of the body that, as you get into your later years of life, particularly the females, already gets lots of trouble. Fissures and prolapse. Oh, prolapse. Hey, David Allen Greer commented on the prolapse once.
What's that?
It's when the rectum falls out your anus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
What I say? What I say? I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
And you can get fissures and hemorrhoids and all those good things. That happens normally. I just am worried that as this population that is getting into this crap, so to speak, ages, we're going to see a lot more anal pathology and rectal pathology. It's already, you know, as you age, an area that gets lots of trouble.
What happens when your rectum falls out your butt? I mean, like can you have it put back in? You know,
is
it
a big operation?
Is it the kind of thing where you got to put your rectum on ice and then take it to the hospital and have it sew it back on?
Not like a Don Martin cartoon, Mad Magazine. You can push it back in for a while, and then it usually gets worse. You have to have a big operation that gets it back in there, because it can actually cut its own blood supply off and be a big mess. It can be bad. Yeah, so it's something that you worry about.
So what's up with all the, you know, like the creepy old gray men that are so gay? And
would you know,
so
most gay men don't have anal sex. Most gay men have mutual oral sex.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Most. And it's actually relatively uncommon to have anal sex. All the heterosexual men assume that's what gay men do.
You know what?
It's not that common. It happens.
I was led to believe that it's really common in marriages for... you know, sort of the passion of, you know, the sex life to leave and, you know, and to sort of spruce it back up and, you know, and they go to anal sex.
I think that's more the guys. Guys are looking for something naughty and new and things to check off their list.
For the guy, it's like, you know, the ultimate, like, domination. You know, like, you know, it's just like a power thing.
Yes, and some guys really seem to be into that for their sexual arousal. I personally do not understand.
And then, you know, there's a lot of girls. One time, you know, I was trying to get this girl to fall for the old penis in the vagina trick. And I was telling her, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I love to go down on chicks. You know, I'll try so hard, you know. I'll really eat you out. And she said, oh, you know, like, I could care less. You know, I just like it, you know, I just like it straight in the butt. You know, and I'm just thinking, wow, like, that's kind of creepy, you know, like...
With that thought, we got to take another break. We'll find out.
I mean,
I think this is a perfect point to stop because we've discovered what actually creeps Steve-O out.
I mean, it's not like I didn't do it.
We'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
All right, well, that about does it for tonight and Steve-O, but do not worry. He'll be back tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I doubt if I'll be this sober.
He's out for a night with some of our listeners, I guess.
I don't want to get, like, too drunk like I did on Adam Carolla's show.
He wants you to talk to the mic still, because even sober, you're not talking into the GD mic.
Yeah, I don't want to get too drunk, but...
Yeah, I don't want you jumping off this table onto the board or peeing on anything. I don't want that. You were great tonight. Let's have you like this again just tomorrow night, okay?
All right, well, I'll just drink a little bit. I'll drink a little bit just so that I'll be a little more racy.
All right.
I felt like I was really holding back tonight.
No, I thought he was good. And help. He was good. Producer and... All right, well, listen, this is Dr. Drew then on behalf of Steve-O when he and I will rejoin you again tomorrow night. And until that time, this is Dr. Drew saying.
Yeah, I cannot wait for tomorrow. And this is Dr. Drew and Steve-O
saying. Good night and stay well.
Yeah, for sure. Pornography without penises in it would be like a skateboard video without, you know, like with just ramps and nobody skating them.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.